Welcome to the TaxCast from the Tax Justice Network. Around 30 minutes of news, scandal and analysis you won't find anywhere else. With me, Naomi Fowler. Coming up later on the TaxCast, corruption in football. We look at the money laundering, racketeering and bribe allegations against top FIFA executives. But first, here's a quick roundup of this month's Tax Justice news. The World Bank wants all corporate bidders on bank-funded projects to reveal their true owners. As TaxCasters already know, anonymous shell companies are often used as fronts for criminality and corruption. So, a good development. And more good news. The Norwegian Parliament's voted unanimously for a public register of the real owners of companies. Europe's poorest nation, Moldova, is in crisis. The government there's had to bail out three of its leading banks after $1 billion went missing. The money was transferred as loans to a network of UK and Hong Kong registered companies. The real owners aren't known. And from Europe's poorest state to the world's poorest country, Malawi, where its citizens desperately need funds to develop better services. According to ActionAid, Malawi's lost $43 million in tax revenue in the last 6 years from just one Australian mining company. And no doubt all the tax-dodging techniques they used are perfectly legal, which is why proper reform is so vital. Another probably perfectly legal load of tax avoidance techniques are being used by one of the world's largest corporations, Walmart, helping them avoid billions in tax. Americans for Tax Fairness are calling for the US tax authorities, the IRS, to investigate. We'll have more on that later. Apparently, American Express in Australia would like us to believe it's made next to nothing in taxable profit in 7 years, despite $8 billion in revenue since 2008. Some of those years, they actually received a tax refund from the Australian government. They've used some nifty tax avoidance tricks by funneling money through the United States. And who are their accountants? PricewaterhouseCoopers. Given how hard it is to get information about account holders from Swiss authorities, a parliamentary committee in Pakistan has recommended the help of Interpol in bringing back $97 billion stashed in Switzerland by Pakistani citizens. And finally, a Cayman Islands newspaper publisher has fled to the United States after criticising corruption there. Legislators voted to withdraw all their advertising from the Cayman Compass, which the Premier has called treasonous. The paper quotes one legislator talking to them about tombstones. Quote, "We have to be careful about how we plant them and whose name appears upon them." Close quote. How nice. And those are the news headlines. Now we're going to talk to John Christensen for his take on this month. Okay, John, let's start with the FIFA scandal. We've had outrageous corruption allegations, about $150 million worth of bribes, at least. It's not as if this registered charity wasn't raking in enough money already. But FIFA is not the only organisation that should be being held responsible.
By no means. In fact, just remember that where FIFA is based, FIFA is based in Switzerland. So as far as I'm concerned, things just go from bad to worse as far as Switzerland's reputation is concerned, because years and years of investigation into secretive Swiss bank accounts has wrecked their reputation. Then we've had all these allegations of kickbacks and bribe-taking coming out of FIFA on a truly awesome scale. And now we have KPMG Switzerland. KPMG is one of the world's big four accounting firms. It emerges that KPMG in Switzerland has not just been auditing FIFA and many of the football associations around the world, but somehow KPMG managed to sign off on FIFA's accounts without once raising any concerns about any possible wrongdoing at all. Now, this is quite an astonishing achievement. And to make matters even worse, KPMG Switzerland was also the auditor and the external advisor consultant to both the Russian and the Qatari bids to host the World Cup in those countries. And both of those bids are now under investigation for corrupt payments. So it seems to me that KPMG has been able to very successfully put themselves out of the frame when it comes to FIFA. FIFA's there, across the world's headlines, recognised that corruption has been happening. But what on earth has been happening with KPMG, the auditors? Now, the role of an auditor is to determine whether the financial statements which have been prepared by FIFA officials meet international financial reporting standards and don't contain any material, this is the important, material misstatements. KPMG, as auditors, should also have reviewed the internal controls at FIFA in order to express an opinion, and an auditor's opinion matters, it's a big, very important thing, on whether FIFA's control systems were fit for purpose. Now, when you bear in mind that the US Department of Justice is investigating the possibility that bribes and kickbacks exceeding $150 million in value were paid to FIFA officials in return for their support, in inverted commas, for awarding broadcast, marketing and sponsorship contracts, and when you also bear in mind that some of these corrupt transactions were allegedly routed through FIFA's controlled bank account, we have to ask ourselves, why did KPMG not pick up on any of these dodgy dealings? Now, KPMG has not commented on this specific case, but they would normally plan their audits to test those areas where there is a risk that transactions might cause material harm to the organisation. And material doesn't just mean money, we also should be talking about reputation, the so-called materiality test. But given the level of public concern and journalist interest in FIFA over many, many years, the high probability that corrupt payments were happening in international football, we have to ask whether KPMG was more interested in making profits from advising Russian and Qatari clients than they were in protecting the reputation of the beautiful game.
So the nicest thing we can say is they might not be very good at their job. When we're going to hear more later on in the TaxCast about the FIFA scandal. Let's move on and talk about the European Commission's latest rather laughable tax haven blacklist. I mean, it's always a bit of a joke when this gets brought out. According to them, this is the world's 30 worst pariah states. Tell us about the list.
Oh, boy. Well, this is another sad, sad story about how political processes have gone badly wrong on the subject of tax havens. Those of us with a long memory will remember the OECD's original 2000 blacklist, which listed 35 little islands but somehow omitted Delaware in the United States, Switzerland, London, and all the other OECD tax havens. And then we had the even more disastrous OECD list produced in 2009, where they produced the so-called black, grey and white list havens, which rapidly whitelisted some of the most secretive and egregious offenders like Switzerland, Luxembourg and Jersey, so that within a matter of months, the vast majority of tax havens were whitelisted and were going around the world marketing themselves as having been cleared of being a tax haven by the OECD. A complete disaster. So in mid-June this year, the European Commission published its own blacklist of havens, which in their terms facilitate tax avoidance. And guess what? 30 small island havens have been listed, but the most important and prominent European tax havens, including Ireland, the Netherlands and Luxembourg, and of course London, don't feature. So what's going on here? Well, the European Commission argued that this list, their new list, is only intended to identify so-called non-cooperative jurisdictions which are not EU member states. Which, think about it, is odd. Why do they want to do that? And it's not particularly useful to anyone. But why, we have to ask, did they include the British Channel Island of Guernsey, a British Crown dependency, but not include Guernsey's larger and frankly much more secretive twin, Jersey? And why also include remote islands in the Pacific, like Niue, which poses no threat whatsoever to European Union tax revenues, but not include Switzerland? So it's hard to avoid concluding that this latest attempt at blacklisting is yet another political fudge designed to distract attention away from Europe's prominent role as the epicentre of tax havenry, with Luxembourg and the UK alone accounting for roughly one third of the global market for offshore financial services and related tax avoidance. And just to remind our listeners, this new blacklist was published by the European Commission, and the current president of the European Commission is a certain Jean-Claude Juncker, and he was the architect of Luxembourg's tax haven-based development strategy. Enough said.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the European Commission president. They also announced that they were going to kind of try to revive this idea about the common consolidated corporate tax base, basically an attempt to harmonise corporate income tax across all the EU member states, which seems like a damn good idea to me. And it's not going to work out, is it?
No, it's not going to work out. It's quite clear that some countries, United Kingdom being probably the most prominent and largest, will resist any attempt to arrive at a cooperative framework here. David Cameron is committed to the exact opposite. He's committed to the idea of a competitive tax framework. In other words, he's committed to tax wars, and he will prevent any moves in the direction of a cooperative arrangement. But it is quite clear that some European member states, like Britain, see tax havenry as a key part of their development strategy and will block any attempt by Europe to arrive at a more sensible and more logical tax framework.
That's a shame, because it was a good idea. Okay, well, let's go to the United States now, because one of their biggest corporations, Walmart, has been really disgraced this month by a new report on its taxes. They've got apparently huge networks, which haven't been disclosed until now, of 78 subsidiaries and branches in 15 overseas tax havens, and it's avoiding large amounts of tax. Apparently, it's got $76 billion in overseas tax havens, and it's a very heavy user of Luxembourg and the Netherlands.
Yep, and of course, when you stand back and look at Walmart, which is one of the world's largest employers, and arguably the world's worst employer, sued for dismissing pregnant workers, found guilty of stealing wages from its own workers, charged with illegally firing employees who asked for better working conditions, strongly anti-union. This company somehow has become a poster child of everything that's brutish and irresponsible about business practices.
Right, because so often the two go together, don't they? Bad treatment of workers and massive tax avoidance.
Absolutely. And they're combined with extraordinary wealth by just a handful of people. The Walmart family have extraordinary wealth. But this latest set of revelations, we learn that Walmart owns more than $76 billion of assets through a web of subsidiary companies registered in tax havens. And according to this new study, Walmart has cut more than $3.5 billion of its US income tax bills since 2009. An astonishing sum. But what the study shows is that Walmart has been busily crafting offshore subsidiaries in tax havens like the Netherlands, British Virgin Islands, Curaçao, and Luxembourg. Luxembourg features very prominently. Walmart has created 20 new subsidiaries in Luxembourg since 2009 and reported $1.3 billion of profits in Luxembourg between 2010 and 2013. And guess what? Walmart doesn't have a single store in Luxembourg.
Mm-hmm.
Bit of a giveaway, that. Now, Walmart has a long history of avoiding tax in the United States. In the past, it used a subsidiary, a real estate investment trust, to own all of its property and pay itself huge rents in order to generate tax deductions in the States. These revelations, as far as I'm concerned, should be particularly galling to middle America, because whilst Walmart is busy avoiding paying income tax in the United States, its employees are being paid such low wages that in 2013, Walmart's employees had to rely on government food stamps, publicly funded health care, and a whole range of other taxpayer-funded programs amounting to $6.2 billion in value. So clearly, you don't get to be one of the world's richest families by paying taxes.
Thanks, John. John Christensen of the Tax Justice Network. Now it's time for the TaxCast special feature. You'd have thought that if you've got a monopoly on running the Football World Cup, there'd be enough money sloshing around to do things above board and still keep everyone happy. But massive corruption by the world's football cartel, FIFA, was the world's worst kept secret for years. The scandal demonstrates everything that's wrong with global finance today and attitudes to business. This month, the TaxCast asks, how has FIFA got away with it?
I take the responsibility to bring back FIFA, and I'm convinced we can do it. And I tell you and I promise you, in the end of my term, I will give this FIFA to my successor in a very, very strong position. I like you. I like my job, and I like to be with you. I thank you for the trust and confidence. Together we go. Let's go, FIFA. Let's go, FIFA. Thank you.
That's thank FIFA you so boss much. Sepp Blatter, after the majority of the 209 member associations voted to re-elect him, despite the arrests of senior FIFA people for bribery, racketeering and money laundering. Here's veteran journalist Andrew Jennings chasing after former FIFA vice president Jack Warner a few years ago.
Mr. Warner, good morning. Welcome to Zurich. Can we ask you yet again, how much profit did you make selling World Cup tickets this year? Oh, Mr. Warner, come on. You always say that FIFA is very transparent. This is only a very polite inquiry, Mr. Warner.
If I could have spit on you, I would have spat on you.
If you could spit on me, you would spit on me?
I will not, of course.
Why would you spit? Why would you spit on me?
Because you're garbage.
I'm garbage.
You're garbage.
But you know, what viewers are interested to know, and fans, is how much money did you make selling World Cup tickets this year?
Ask your mother.
Ask?
Your mother.
Ask my mother. My mother's dead, actually, but it's nice of you to remind me of that.
Find her.
Thank you so much, Mr. Warner.
Andrew Jennings has been reporting on FIFA corruption for years.
My definition of organised crime has two boxes to tick. The first is a bunch of crooks committing criminal acts with the goal of profit. Secondly, they have high-level protection. FIFA, in my view, ticks those boxes. The evidence shows they qualify as a globally organised crime syndicate.
Andrew's speaking here at a conference organised by investigating organisation Offshore Alert a few years back in Miami. FIFA tried to frighten them off with a letter from their lawyers in London to stop it. Conference organiser and Offshore Alert's editor and fellow investigative journalist David Marchant.
At the Offshore Alert conference in 2010, we began promoting the fact that Andrew Jennings, an extremely tenacious and highly regarded investigative journalist, would be speaking about corruption within FIFA. So we started promoting it, and then FIFA very quickly sent us a thinly veiled threatening letter. And look, I'm an investigative journalist. I get many threats, you know, threats of lawsuits, physical threats, death threats. I actually quite enjoy them, to be perfectly honest. You know, they clearly were concerned about a public airing in a credible forum about these allegations of fraud. Our conferences attract US prosecutors, US investigators. It's a very highbrow attendee list. Their concerns were justifiable because after our conference, Andrew was interviewed by US law enforcement. The essence of our events is financial crime that takes place in offshore financial centers. So the IRS attends in droves. So that day when he gave a speech, Andrew had a very powerful audience. And our events certainly helped the investigative process either take place or continue taking place.
So far, the US Department of Justice has issued charges against 9 FIFA staff or former staff and 5 other people involving $150 million worth of bribes. It looks like there's plenty more dirt to come out, but that doesn't seem to bother most of the FIFA members. Here's George Turner of the Tax Justice Network's Corruption in Sports project, The Offshore Game.
The reaction from sponsors and from football organisations around the world has been hugely disappointing, because so many of them have come out and said they now hope that with Sepp Blatter gone, the organisation can reform themselves. But you know, it's a bit like asking the mafia to reform itself after the arrest of a leading figure or the death of one of the dons. It's just simply not going to happen. This is an organisation which is accused of organised crime by the FBI, amongst others. Just days after the indictment was issued, with the arrest of senior officials, the people who run FIFA, the members of FIFA, re-elected Sepp Blatter. So the idea that these same people are going to now elect somebody who's going to reform the organisation is a complete fantasy, because FIFA doles out large amounts of money in so-called development funds, which are largely unaudited. We're a very, very long way from the kind of transparency that an organisation that cares about integrity would implement.
Sepp Blatter had announced he'd be stepping down when the heat seemed to be getting too close to him personally, but now it looks like he's changing his mind. FIFA members' support for their president is so strong he may stay after all, and that support's no accident. He's cultivated his friends carefully for years, among them African and Asian member associations, and another very important ally, the North Central America and Caribbean Football Confederation, or CONCACAF. Andrew Jennings again.
CONCACAF started life registered in the Caymans, and it's now been in the Bahamas for a few years. And as you'll all well know, there's very little one can find out about CONCACAF's finances, where the money goes, where it comes in from, who gets what.
Small tax havens make convenient bases for CONCACAF. It's all the harder to track the FIFA dollars flowing in and out for sports investments and TV and advertising rights. Now, the head of CONCACAF and president of the Cayman Islands Football Association and his colleague are facing corruption charges. And so is one of the central players in the FIFA scandal, former CONCACAF president and former FIFA vice president, Jack Warner. Andrew Jennings.
Warner controls 35 votes at CONCACAF, including America's, out of 208 at every FIFA Congress. President Blatter needs Warner, and he stays in power. A compulsive and habitual liar. So where's his protection? Here he is last year inside the White House with the corrupt Blatter. What a topsy-turvy world where a US president has to make nice with offshore fraudsters like these two. Is hosting the Soccer World Cup that important? It's not only Jack Warner who likes those US dollars banked in a safe place like America. Here on the right with Sepp Blatter is Nigeria's wealthiest public servant, Amos Adamu, a member with Warner of FIFA's 24-man ruling executive committee. Be nice to him. His vote will be essential to America's bid to stage the World Cup.
So, red carpet treatment for FIFA representatives from national governments pretty much everywhere. Jack Warner's the person Egypt now says demanded a $7 million bribe for their bid to host the 2010 World Cup, which Egypt apparently refused. And it now appears that, in fact, Morocco won the vote to host the 2010 World Cup by two votes. But as we all know, it was South Africa that actually ended up hosting it. The South Africans paid Jack Warner $10 million, but they insist it was a donation for development projects, definitely not a bribe. It's probably no surprise to learn that FIFA was built on self-interest and secrecy right from the start. It's a registered charity in the tax haven of Switzerland, and it pays virtually no taxes there. It also pressures governments who want to enter the bidding process to host the World Cup to sign away practically all tax revenue that would be due to them from it. If you're a World Cup sponsor, you can do very well. The last World Cup host, Brazil, lost an estimated $460 million of tax revenue because of the exemptions it granted to the likes of McDonald's and Budweiser. So FIFA's pretty happy for it to fall mainly to taxpayers to foot the bill for their lucrative events. And of course, they're helped along no end by the secrecy offered by the global banking system and the governments who are busy protecting their part of it. George Turner.
But if FIFA was serious about reform, they would make a good start by not basing themselves in Switzerland, because, as we know, Switzerland is a tax haven that attracts questionable money through its banking secrecy legislation. The story of FIFA is a story which is similar to any real corrupt transaction. It uses secrecy jurisdictions in tax havens in order to cover up beneficial ownership of financial transactions, common to most corrupt deals and not just FIFA. And if everyone in the world who's involved in these kinds of activity uses British tax havens and the British government is content to allow these tax havens to continue to operate and launder the world's dirty money, Britain could take really strong action, really positive action. A lot of these places have their constitution as part of British law. They are acts of parliament. There's a governor general appointed by the Queen. And there is still the possibility for the UK to take direct control of these places. So you have to really ask yourself why the British authorities have done very, very little when it appeared that they had every reason to intervene or at least start an investigation. Standard Chartered, HSBC and Barclays were used by FIFA officials to make these payments. They're all based in London. And yet, no real investigation seems to have been conducted by the Serious Fraud Office or anybody else.
And the reason for that is clear. Take a look at the Tax Justice Network's most recent Financial Secrecy Index. Although it ranks the UK at number 21, if you put together its entire web of satellite secrecy jurisdictions based on its British Crown dependencies and overseas territories like the Cayman Islands, the UK would be number one. David Marchant of Offshore Alert.
The British should not be investigating anything because the British are useless when it comes to investigating. The British specialise in cover-ups. If anything, they should give FIFA, the British should give FIFA a medal for perfecting what happens in Britain on a routine basis. You know, every major investigation in Britain seems to end the same way. It's just a sad, corrupt farce. You know, so any investigation should be left to the United States because they know how to do it. And they're already doing it. They've already brought FIFA to its knees. And, you know, they're in the process of finishing off FIFA and every executive associated with it.
Now, if I was a FIFA executive, I'd make sure next time I didn't put my bribes through the US banking system or use dollars. But while the US authorities may be bringing FIFA to its knees, and they certainly are the world's most active in prosecuting and fining banks, those banks just seem to go on weathering those fines and settlements as a kind of ongoing business expense. HSBC, JP Morgan Chase, Bank of America and Citigroup are being investigated for their role in the FIFA scandal, but their CEOs still don't have to worry that much. The strongest deterrent of jail is pretty rare, unless you're a whistleblower. But what's next for FIFA? David Marchant.
FIFA might well go into liquidation because they're caught between a rock and a hard place. When you award contracts based on bribes, it's quite difficult to take those contracts away. And it creates this very interesting scenario. Let's say Qatar is told, okay, you're no longer going to host the World Cup. Well, Qatar is going to be thinking, well, okay, I want our bribes back. But, you know, you can't like go to a court of law and sue somebody saying, look, we want our illegal payments back. But those bribes were probably dressed up as legitimate contracts. So they could sue over these sort of, you know, legitimate contracts that were really bribes. And if that's the case, you know, can FIFA repay the money if they were forced to? I can easily see this ending up with FIFA being no more and something rising from the ashes to take its place.
The Qataris and many other countries deny that they paid bribes, but it's likely that years of litigation and compensation claims from all directions lie ahead for FIFA. And as long as governments continue to protect banking secrecy, this won't be the end of the story on corruption in sport. You can follow journalist Andrew Jennings on Twitter handle @AndrewJennings and his books called Omerta, Sepp Blatter's FIFA Organised Crime Family. For more information on the Tax Justice Network's Offshore Game project, go to www.theoffshoregame.net, and Offshore Alert's website is www.offshorealert.com. You've been listening to the TaxCast from the Tax Justice Network. We'll be back next month.